This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. We continue with our discussion on قصص الأنبياء, the stories of the أنبياء عليه الصلاة والسلام. We are discussing the story of Adam على نبينا وعليه الصلاة والسلام. A quick recap of what we discussed on Friday night. We spoke about Allah's command to the angels to prostrate before Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And we explained that this was a sajda and a prostration of respect. And in those times, a prostration, a sajda of respect was permitted. And I also explained the mas'ala that to prostrate before somebody is not necessarily shirk. It is haram in this sharia, even out of respect, to prostrate before someone, it is haram. It's only when you consider the person you are prostrating to be worthy of worship or to be a deity of sorts that it would become shirk. We also spoke about why Iblis refused to make sajda, his argument of ana khayrum min, that I am better than him, whereas soil is not inferior to fire, rather it's the other way around, because fire is used for destructive purposes and soil is used for constructive purposes. And Yunus Bhai was telling me as we left, he said, you know, come to think about it, that if there's a fire and if you don't have water to put it out, what do you use? You use soil. So Shaitan was wrong in his argument, but in reality, it was something deeper than that. And I explained, because the jinn had lived on planet Earth 2,000 years before the man was created, and Iblis was taken to the heavens on the request of the angels, because they were so impressed by his worship, he always harbored this desire that Allah must send me back to planet Earth, and I must be made Allah's Khalifa. I must be made the vicegerent of Allah on the earth. And when Allah created Adam alayhi salam, then Iblis could not take it. His jealousy and his pride came to the fore. And hence, he started arguing that he was superior, even though Allah knew better because Allah created him and Allah created Adam alayhi salam. And not only that, he did not repent, he did not make tawbah. Rather, he started to blame Allah for his own misguidance. And then he asked Allah for respite until the day of Qiyamah, so he could continue to misguide the progeny of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And we concluded by highlighting this point, that jealousy and pride have brought many a great person to their knees. One alim so beautifully mentions, he says that Iblis, Shaitan, he was a great abid, he was a great worshipper. As I explained the other night, not the equivalent of a handspan in the heavens, except that he prostrated there. He was a great alim. He had a lot of knowledge, but he was not an ashik. He did not have true love for Allah. He was not sincere. All what he was doing was just for show. All his worship was to impress, because he wanted that position. He wanted to be made Khalifatullahi fil ard. And now, after so much of effort, when he did not get the position, that's when he lost control of himself. And he started rebelling even against Allah in the direct court of Allah. To a lesser extent, the same thing plays out in our own lives. When you do something without sincerity, it always catches up with you. When you do it to please someone, and ultimately you see that it has had no impact on that person, that's when you lose yourself. That's when you get, because you see all of your effort go up in smoke. But when you do something for the pleasure of Allah, even if you don't get acknowledged for it, even if you don't get rewarded for it, even if there is an appreciation for it, you know, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُضِيعُ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, that Allah will definitely reward you in the Akhirah. So each one of us, we need to introspect all the time. See, jealousy, pride, arrogance, it lurks from within. You know, it builds up slowly. And it's very sophisticated. It's very sophisticated. It makes you think that you're doing things for the right reasons, that you're standing up for yourself, that you are going after what is justifiably yours. But in reality, it's either pride or it's jealousy that's motivating you. And this can destroy all a person's ibadah. Adam alayhi salatu wasalam as a human would not have been able to do as much ibadah as Iblis did. But he was far greater. Why? Because he had sincerity and he complied to the commands of Allah. Iblis, on the other hand, was a far greater in terms of the quantity of his worship. The quantity of his worship, but he was not sincere and he did not comply to the commands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So, moving further, the scholars have written, they say, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was honored by Allah in four ways. The one is Allah created him with his own hands. Figuratively speaking, Allah does not have hands like you and I. Meaning, Allah created him directly. Then secondly, Allah breathed the life into him directly. Thirdly, Allah made the angels prostrate before him. And fourthly, Allah taught him the names of all things. So Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was honored by Allah in these four aspects. Now at this juncture, I just want to explain. You know, we're talking about three different creations of Allah. Insan, jinnat, and malaika, angels. What are the difference between them? And what are the similarities between them? If you look at the malaika, the angels, and the jinnat, they have one thing in common in that they are invisible to the human eye. So the human cannot see them, with a few exceptions here and there. You know, those people who do those amals and then they can see the jinn, and that's a different world altogether. But generally speaking, you cannot see a jinn, you cannot see an angel. So they have that similarity. But the angels are very different in terms of the capacity which Allah has given them. Allah has created the angels such that they don't have the capacity to do evil. They only have the capacity to do good. They are a unique creation of Allah. They don't eat, they don't sleep, they don't drink, they don't marry. They are gender neutral. So you don't get a male or you don't get a female amongst the angels. They are constantly occupied in the ibadah of Allah and in carrying out the commands of Allah. They don't have the capacity to do any wrong because Allah hasn't created that capacity within them. But it is for that very reason that they don't have a test. Their existence is such that they can only worship Allah. So there's no reward for them. There's no punishment for them because they can't do good. But there's no reward for them because there's no temptation that they have to overcome. There's no test for them in life. There's no challenge for them in life. So therefore, the angels will not get Jannah as a reward. If the angels enter in Jannah, it will be to serve insan. It will be to serve insan. So the jinn are similar to the angels in that they are invisible to the human eye. But other than that, the jinn are very similar to insan in that Allah has also given them the dual capacity. The jinn have the ability to do good and they also have the ability to do evil. And they will get rewarded and then they will also get punished. There is a difference of opinion amongst the scholars whether they will get rewarded with Jannah or not, or whether they will get another form of reward. But definitely there will be reward for them and there will be punishment for them. They are different to us in that they are much stronger creation physically. They live for much longer, but they are also mischievous by nature. You will find many more mischievous jinnat than you will find pious jinnat. Although, by default, a jinn has the capacity to be both good and evil. Like Allah gave us that capacity. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. So you got the inclination towards good and you got the inclination towards evil simultaneously in you. And it's about inclining towards the good and suppressing the evil desires and the evil temptations. So the jinn have the same. And the prophets that were sent were not only sent to the insan, they were sent to the jinnat as well. That's why the entire suratul jinn is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's interaction with the jinnat. قُلْ أُوحِيَ إِلَيَّ أَنَّهُ اسْتَمَعَ نَفَرٌ مِّنَ الْجِنِّ فَقَالُوا إِنَّا سَمِعْنَا قُرْآنًا عَجَبًا. They heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting the revelation, meaning the Quran, and they responded to that. So from amongst the jinnat, you get those who are pious servants of Allah, and they worship Allah, and they are good believers. And if they die in that state of faith, they will be granted reward in the year after. But then you get those jinnat who are rebellious, who are mischievous, but they are still believers. So they are like Muslims who are Muslims but weak, you know, in their actions. And then you get those jinnat who are disbelievers. And they are the ones we call the shayateen. We call shaitan, shaitan, that's the singular, and the plural is shayateen, because he is a disbelieving jinn. Now, disbeliever doesn't mean that you don't know that Allah exists, or that you don't know that Allah is one. I mean, Iblis knows that. Iblis was in the heavens. And even the Jews know that. The Jews, unlike the Christians, they don't believe in a Trinity. There is one group amongst the Jews that believe that Uzair was the son of Allah, waliyadu billah. But the Jews also believe in one Allah. The Jews also believe in revelation. But there are certain things which, if you don't believe in it, it expels you from the fold of Islam. So the Jews don't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is critical. That is a fundamental of faith. And Iblis, he is making kufr in terms of his actions. Total disregard and total rebellion to the commands of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that is his kufr. He knows that Allah exists. He knows that Jannah exists. He knows that Jahannam exists. He's not like an atheist. He's not like a person who doesn't know. He knows. But he's still a kafir because he's not subscribing to the fundamentals. He's not subscribing to the basic tenets of Islam and Iman. So, to summarize, the malaika are that creation of Allah that can only worship Allah. Amongst them, you got the four highest ranking angels, Jibreel, Mikael, Israfil, and Israel. Jibreel alayhi salam is the highest ranking angel. He was responsible for bringing down revelation. Then Israel is Malakul Maut, as we know. He is responsible for the taking of the souls. He doesn't do it alone. There are many other angels under his command. Then you've got Israfil, who will blow the trumpet on the day of Qiyamah. And you've got Mikael. Those are the four senior or superior angels. Amongst the humans, the superior are obviously the Anbiya alayhimu salatu wasalam. And amongst the jinn, you get the bad and you get the pious. But you get many more who are bad. Because jinn by nature are mischievous and rebellious. That's why you'll find many of these jinnat that interfere with people. You know, when they say he's been afflicted by a jinn, it's these rebellious and mischievous jinnat, the shayateen, those who work with Iblis, those who are under his command. Their whole purpose in life is to cause harm to insan, to try and deviate insan, to try and misguide insan. Why? Because of that original animosity between Iblis and Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Overposition. From that time, Adam alayhi salam was given a position that Iblis wanted. And for all of these millions of years, Iblis and his followers are continuing to carry out that vendetta against the progeny of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.